Would you pray with me today?
Please pray for me today. Thank you, God, so much for the opportunity that we have to gather and to worship, to hear this amazing story that has been told for nearly 2,000 years that continues to provoke us, to challenge us, to inspire us, and to set us moving. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, in the Easter narrative, there is a little word that appears. Three different times in Matthew's telling of the Easter narrative, and then a fourth time in the text that follows the Easter narrative, and that little word is go. The angels who are there at the tomb on Easter morning tell the women who come to the tomb to go and tell the disciples. And while they're on their way, they meet the resurrected Jesus, who once again says, go tell the disciples, but this time tell them to go to Galilee, back home where our ministry began, and I'll meet them there. And so they return to Galilee, and then Matthew 28, beginning at 16, says this, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, as they had been told, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the close of the age. The commandment of Easter is the commandment to go. Get started. Give it a try. Figure it out. See what's happening. Try it again. Get busy. Go. That little word spoken to those first disciples is an extraordinary commandment. You know, for some people, Christianity is a spectator sport. It's something we come to observe and to watch. But that is not what it was intended to be from the beginning. Christianity isn't something we sit back and observe. It is something we participate in. It's something we get involved with. It's something where we go to do something, to get busy, to get involved. And that word spoken to those first disciples, I believe, is a word that we need to hear again today. For some of us, our lives have become quite settled, perhaps even stagnant. We've gotten into a routine. One day seems like the day before, and we expect very little from the next day. But Jesus is saying to us, go. And that little word changed the world. You know, it would have been very easy for those 11 disciples to have decided just to stay put. I mean, after all, they had never really traveled far from home. Probably the furthest they had ever been was the week before when they went down to Jerusalem, about 75 miles away from their little fishing villages around the Sea of Galilee where they first met Jesus. For Jesus to tell them to go and make disciples of all nations, basically go out into all of the known world, would have seemed like a ridiculous commandment. And it would have been easy for them to have ignored it. Just going back home. But they didn't. They took Jesus seriously when he told them to go. And by going, the world has changed profoundly in ways that you and I cannot imagine. The difference that Jesus and these communities of faith, of followers of Jesus that we call the church, have made in history is impossible for us to fathom or take in. The impact of Christian thought, Christian behavior, Christian action, people taking the teaching of Jesus that every person is of value, that people should be set free from their sins in order to pursue their God-likeness in whatever form that may take, that people's best and greatest purpose in life is to serve among the poor and to forgive their enemies. The teachings of Jesus have revolutionized thought in virtually every area and aspect of life as you and I know it. Historian Rodney Stark said, had the followers of Jesus remained home and become an obscure Jewish sect, there's a good chance that most of you here would not have learned to read. Without a theology committed to reason, progress, creativity, and moral equality today, the entire world would be a world with many astrologers and alchemists, but few scientists. A world of despots, but no democracy. A world lacking universities, banks, factories, eyeglasses, chimneys, and pianos. A world where most infants do not live to the age of 5 and many women die in childbirth. The modern world arose in Christian societies, not in Islam, not in Asia, not in any brand of secular society. There would be no world as we know it today if Easter had never happened, if the disciples hadn't taken Jesus seriously and gone. But they did. They went out into the world and they began to create these communities of faith that we call churches. In fact, we know that the Apostle Paul, a follower of Jesus, within 15 years of his resurrection, had taken the first step of a Christian into European soil, thousands of miles away from the beginnings in Jerusalem, where he had traveled on foot and began to plant the idea of Jesus in the hearts and the minds of people who began to gather in these churches, in these communities of faith that became the storehouse of God's knowledge and information that then led to people to change the world, to take the hurts of the hopeless and the broken seriously and begin to establish things like hospitals, clinics, orphanages, to take the fact that people weren't able to read seriously and begin to be champions for public education and not just private education for the few and for the wealthy. It was the Christian society that inspired art and literature and music in a way that has profoundly touched the souls and lives of millions and millions of people. Those early disciples went because Jesus said, go. And because they did, you and I are here today and our lives are as they are. Whenever the church goes, the church grows. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Wait a minute, the church isn't growing. I've seen churches that used to be quite vigorous that are down to a handful of people. I've seen churches closed and turned into civic buildings or restaurants. And it's true. In our context, the church as a whole is not growing. Churches are losing ground. There are many churches, even on Easter morning in North America today, that are virtually empty. And that is heartbreaking. But friends, let me tell you something. Christianity, on the whole, is growing faster than any other of the world's great religions, much faster. In fact, in places where we would not expect Jesus to be going, he's sending out his disciples in numbers that are staggering. Take, for instance, Russia. After a century of state-sponsored atheism, in which Christianity was virtually banned and all churches closed, today, 74% of the people living in Russia self-identify themselves as followers of Jesus Christ. In South Korea, at the turn of the last century, 1900, there were virtually no Christians. Today, in the city of Seoul, South Korea, there are over 7,000 churches, including the largest single church in the world, which numbers 750,000 people in one church that meets in soccer stadiums many times every Sunday morning. In sub-Saharan Africa at the turn of the last century, less than 3% of people were identified as Christian. Today, in that part of the world, 63% of people number themselves among followers of Jesus Christ, with 34,000 new members coming to faith in Christ every day. In Hindu India, there are now 28 million Christians. In Brazil, the Catholic Church grew from 50 million in 1950 to 134 million disciples today. In 1950, there were no Protestant Christians in Brazil. Today, there are 44 million Protestant Christians, followers of Christ, forming communities of faith in South America. More people have come to faith in Jesus in the Islamic world in the past 25 years than in all of history before that. In Indonesia, a predominantly Muslim nation, the number of Christians is unknown because it's growing so fast, the Muslim government is embarrassed to publish the statistics. In China, where the church was officially banned, it meets in underground communities. Something like 10 million new followers of Christ are coming to faith every year. It will become the most populous Christian country, passing the United States within just the next few years. Across the planet, something like 80,000 new disciples coming to faith every day. 80,000 a day, planting 520 new churches. That's 3,750 communities of Christ followers coming together across our planet every week. It is a staggering truth that Christianity is growing because the disciples of Jesus are still going. Taking this incredible story out into places for people who have never heard it, and when they hear who Jesus is, what he has done, his power to transform lives, and they begin to see the impact of that transformation, people fall in love with Jesus, and then they go out and tell other people. And that is how our faith is changing the lives of this world, even to this very day. People are going. And so my question to all of us is, where are you going to go? Because you see, when the church stops going is when the church starts dying. When Christians stop going, when we stop understanding that this message is meant to be shared in both word and deed, then we stop growing as Christians. You see, it's not about just sending people out to change the world. It's sending people out so their world gets changed. It's when we go in the name of Jesus and we serve the least, the lost, and the broken that we encounter the fact that Jesus was already there waiting for us. People who don't know Jesus Christ are often people who've never gone out to serve him. And the people who've gotten to know him the best are the people who have taken tremendous risks to step out in faith, to invite someone to church, or to meet a need somewhere around the world. Last Sunday was an extraordinary day in the life of this church. There was a little girl in a wheelchair at the 11 o'clock service on Palm Sunday, right in the very back corner of that church where Donna Daisner is sitting. Her name was Alonia. She was born in the Ukraine. And she was born with cerebral palsy. Her father died a month before she was born, and at the age of 2, her mother was put in prison. Alonia and her 2 siblings became orphans in this world. They were taken in by the grandmother, and the grandmother said, "I do not have the capacity to care for this little girl. She needs constant care. She's in a wheelchair. I can't provide for her." And she sent Alonia to a state-sponsored orphanage in the Ukraine, one of the most terrible places a child could possibly grow up in. The only people who ever came to that orphanage, other than the people who were obligated to work there, were missionaries, Christian missionaries from the United States, who would come and visit the little children in this orphanage who had been left alone in this world with no family, and told them that they belonged to a greater family, a different family, a family who was run by a man named Jesus. The only time they ever left the orphanage was when these American Christian missionaries would take them out for 1 week in the summer for a little bit of a holiday, to like a summer camp. And at that camp, it would be the best week of the year, and they heard the story of a Savior who died for them and who rose again and who loved them and adopted those little orphaned kids into His family. And something about that word, that message, made its way into the heart of that little girl, and she began to pray to Jesus. And her prayer was simply this: Lord, I know You've adopted me into Your family. Now I want You to adopt me into a family here. I want to have a family. While she was praying that prayer in an orphanage in the Ukraine, a Christian couple from central New Jersey named Ed and Carolyn Millwood, who live out in the New Egypt area, they're not members of Allentown Presbyterian Church, but they're connected here. Their kids went through our little tree preschool. Their grown children now have been part of our youth ministry. They began to pray that somebody do something about the problem of unwanted children. And they became aware that there were all these children living in orphanages in Eastern Europe that somebody ought to do something about. Now, they're in their 50s, and they thought, you know, I'm sure there's some young families out there. And they went on a website, like a GoFundMe, to help support the costs of adoption for families. And they said, we're going to start to put money so that a young family could adopt one of these kids. And as they looked through the website, they saw there weren't just dozens. There weren't just hundreds. There are thousands and thousands of children living in these terrible orphanages, being cared for by nannies. And as Carolyn Millwood was looking through page after page online of these children and all of their situations and problems, the face of one little girl popped out at her. A little girl in a wheelchair in an orphanage in the Ukraine. And she went back to the page several times, and every time she just found herself being drawn to this one little girl and her little face. And she thought, somebody ought to adopt that little girl. And one day, Ed came home from work, and he said, at lunchtime today, I went to the page where we're sending the money. He goes, I was scrolling through, and I stopped at a picture of this one little girl. I can't get her out of my mind. Of course, it was the same little girl. Who is this? And they began to read her story. It was little Alonia, and they said, we sure hope somebody adopts this little girl. And whoever they are, we're going to pay. We're going to pay for that adoption. God's definitely leading us. But maybe we should, no, we can't. We can't do that. We just bought a new car. That we'd have to get a van. There's no ramps. We're past this age of our lives. Somebody else should do. Well, maybe we ought to. Maybe we should go. And so they said, we're going to get involved in this process. We're going to begin to fill out all the paperwork. And if somebody else comes along, that's fine. And so they filled out the paperwork, and they went to the Ukraine, and they walked in the room, and they saw Alonia, and she came home. And on October the 13th, she moved into her new home with her new family in central New Jersey. This little girl was baptized when she was first born. It was the last time she had ever been in a church. The nannies who worked at the orphanage said, churches are dark and scary places. But she said to her new family, I want to go see where this Jesus lives because he answered my prayer. And they brought her into this church. And her face lit up and she looked and she pointed to the crosses in the windows. And she was here the first time ever last Sunday in her little wheelchair. And the kids were marching around and waving their palms and her face was lit up with a light because she knew she had found her family. Carolyn says, Stephen, this kid has faith like I have never seen before. I have never been more grateful for missionaries who introduced her to God than I am right now. But she also said this, I know now for sure that the commandment to go and serve is what brings us closer to God. He opened our eyes to see the things that otherwise we would miss. Friends, Jesus said to his disciples on that first Easter to go. And they got up the courage and they went. And the world changed. And he's still saying, go. If you feel like you do not know who Jesus is, then my challenge to you is maybe you're not going where he wants you to be. Where is that? Well, for some of us, it might be right here. Maybe we should go to church, not just today, but every week, every day. Get involved with other believers and followers of Jesus, and you may be surprised at how his story will become your story. Go to where the greatest hurts in the world are, and you will find Jesus is already there. You don't have to go to the Ukraine, but you may need to go into the city. You may need to go to that elderly center where people are struggling with memory issues and no one's there to give their family a break. You may need to go to a place where prisoners are trying to get back on their feet and they need somebody to tutor them. You may need to go to a place where people's lives are being lived on the margin. God wants you to go, not to change their life only, but to change your life as well. And it's when you and I go in obedience that our faith becomes real, that God speaks into our lives, and that everything changes. But we have to go. We can't settle or become stifled or stagnant. And so, where is it? Where are you going to go today?